may use this vessel to stand in a pulpit and bring your message, your word. God, may it convict us. God, may it challenge us. God, may it do all things that honors you and brings glory to your kingdom. Father, without you, we're nothing. Without you, we are lost. Father, you sent your son. This time of year, we celebrate his birth. God, he came to die a cruel death for what we've done, for our wrong, our sin. And we can never thank you enough. We can never do enough to show you our gratitude for what you've done for us. But Father, we say thank you. And we say we love you. And Father, just use us mightily so, Father, that we can just at least share an eternity with you. So, Father, do a mighty work in Lime Branch. Do a mighty work in our lives. And God, just use Brian in a mighty way and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with all those Christmas gifts that you're going to get? I remember Jennifer and I lived in a house one time that the floors were crooked and no doors would stay open. So we used those fruitcakes, yes, as door stops. And they were great gifts for that. One of my most memorable gifts, if you can remember back through the years and think of what your most memorable gift was. But one of them that always comes to mind were my Superman underoos, and many of you don't even know what underoos are, but they are wonderful, quite comfortable. I wish I still had these today. And in my Superman underoos, I jumped off the couch many times and flew through the house. Great times in those Superman underoos. Matter of fact, Jennifer, I found out years later, had the Wonder Woman underoos, and we didn't even know one another at the time, but Superman and Wonder Woman finally got together. We just didn't have our underoos. What do you do with those gifts that you get, those gifts that you receive? Ever wonder what people do with the gifts that you give them? What do you do with those gifts? Well, put that in the back of your storehouse, because I'm going to bring this up again. What you do with the gift that is given you is quite important. I want to tell you a story this morning. As we mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about Hanukkah. Hanukkah begins for the Jewish people and for many Christians. Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah as each candle is lit, remembering the miracle that took place. And I'm going to do this using some words that alliterate, and they tell preachers not to do that anymore, that millennials are not into that. But you guys stay with me, and hopefully this will help us remember the account of Hanukkah. And so the first thing I want us to speak of in remembering this account, and we refer to Jesus being a part of the dedication. Remember, Hanukkah means dedication. So Jesus was there celebrating Hanukkah, and we're going to bring this back up again later, that he is celebrating Hanukkah and the significance of that. But as I tell the story, I want us to look at a couple of things. There's four things. First of all, I want us to look at the madman and notice the account of the madman. If you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. I want to read these verses to you. And a mighty king will arise, and he will rule with great authority and do as he pleases. But as soon as he has arisen, his kingdom will be broken up and parceled out toward the four points of the compass, though not to his own descendants, nor according to his authority which he wielded, for his sovereignty will be uprooted and given to others besides them. Who do you think this is referring to? Well, most scholars are in agreement. This is referring to Alexander the Great, who arose very quickly in power at the age of 20. He was conquering the known world at the time. And he had all the known world in the palm of his hands. Well, at his untimely death, he had no heir. He had no children. So in the next few years, his kingdom was divided up amongst his generals, who were vying one another, fighting with one another to see who would rule and reign. And four of those generals got those places. And I say all that to say this. This is one of those pegs to hang your faith upon. Our faith is believing in the Lord, trusting in him totally. But God gives us so many true things that took place in his scripture. And listen, this is if you want to go back and read this in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, this describes this era in which we're speaking of this morning. This describes these 400 silent years. And scholars had said this is so truistic that they cannot believe that this was written nearly 300 years before it took place. But brothers and sisters, that is our God. Amen. And he knows the future. He knows all things. And so this was given to us. Well, Alexander the Great's kingdom was divided up. And the two I want you to remember this morning for our account is the Ptolemies down in the south, which is Egypt, and the Seleucids up in the north, which is what you're hearing in the news so much today, Syria. Well, in Syria, a man takes leadership of Syria, and his name is Antiochus. Antiochus the fourth, matter of fact. He's in the long line of Antiochuses, and he takes the helm. He is the king of the north, and he wants to do better than his dad ever did before him. So what is he going to do? He wants to go down south and conquer Egypt, the Ptolemies. They're having a little rocky time at the moment. And he wants to unite the two kingdoms so that now his kingdom is larger and bigger than his father's before him. So he's got something in mind. Well, what lays in between Syria and Egypt? You know this, the land of Israel. Israel is between that land. It is currently under the Seleucid rule and reign, but there's a problem in the land. There are Jewish people. They're quite religious. They're doing their own thing. Alexander the Great let them do this. Many of the other rulers let them do their own thing. But this is not going to be so with Antiochus the Fourth. Matter of fact, he has adopted a name for himself. Antiochus the Fourth, Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, what does Epiphanes mean? It means the God manifest, God with us. So he is saying that in essence, his rulership is God himself. And in order to unite these two kingdoms, he's going to go down to Jerusalem. He's going to go down and he is going to make it against the law to practice Judaism. And so he goes down, this madman, he goes down to this place and he wreaks havoc on the land. And let's digress just for a moment. Let me share with you a couple things about the madman. The madman is still alive today. The madman we know in the scriptures is Satan himself. And he is wreaking havoc through our land and through our times. And he does this through people, right? And let me digress just a little bit to add where we are in our time today. We have people in leadership positions with a lot of clout who want to rule the world. And one of the things that they see in the way of that is God's holy people. And so just as the beginning of time and to now, all through time, from the time of Abraham on, there are people that want to annihilate the Jewish people. They want to get rid of them. And so this is where we get anti-Semitism. This is where we get people trying to boycott Israel and boycott Israel's goods and things. And they want to squelch what is taking place in Israel. But not only that, when people attack the Jewish people, who are they also attacking? They're going to attack the Christians as well. And so there are people in society today, particularly in America, in the United States of America, that are wanting to insist that Christian people practice their faith, but practice their faith according to the culture and the times that we're in. That means insisting that we adopt sins into our church. And this is taking place. Watch the news, Christian and secular. This is taking place right here, right now in America. People insisting that we do that. Why? Because if you control the religion, you control the people. So Antiochus is wanting to annihilate Judaism and create a one world religion. Okay, so this is the madman. The madman is still in existence today. Not only is Satan using people, but Satan is all around, and we have to fight the madman within ourselves too. Amen? The Bible says if you say you're without sin, you are what? You are a liar. So we all have the sin nature in us. Praise be to God. As Christians, we have been delivered. We've been saved from the consequences of the sin nature. But nonetheless, on this side of heaven, until we get to glory, we're going to wrestle with the sin nature within ourselves. So the madman is there. The madman is here. But notice the second thing about this story. Notice the mutiny. So he marches in. He marches into Jerusalem and he demands that they no longer keep the Sabbath. He demands that they no longer circumcise the male children. He demands that that they no longer worship God, Yahweh, and he demands all these things. He demands they no longer read the Torah and study the Torah. And not only does he demand this, but he says this is punishable by what? Death. If you are caught doing this, you will be put to death. Now don't put too much emphasis on the Jewish people, because there were secular Jews at that time just as there are at this time. There were Jews that believed in God. There were Jews that didn't believe in God. And matter of fact, some of the Jews were glad all this was taking place, because they didn't like the temple system anyway. And so when he came in and he did this, they thought this would be great. Boy, does that resonate with us today or not? There's sin in the church today, and there are Christian people who think this is wonderful, and they're celebrating sin within the church. May we never celebrate sin in the church. May we never celebrate sin in America. May we never celebrate sin within ourselves. Sin is a serious issue. So the mutiny takes place when, no longer that, but they go over to Modin. And in the Modin, there is a family that lives in the place. It's headed by a man named Mattathias. And they go up to him. He's of the priestly family. And they go to him because he is in the center of the town. He's a leader in the town. They say, well, if we can get him, we can get everybody. And the king's messenger says, you are going to sacrifice on the altar a pig right here in Modin. And everybody's going to watch. Everybody's going to see what you're doing. And they're going to follow suit because it's against the law to practice Judaism. So if you do this, everybody's going to follow you. And Mattathias did the interesting thing. He killed the messenger of Antiochus. And he killed also the officer that was going to make him do these things. And he cries out, whoever is for God, follow me. And he has five sons, Jonathan, Simon, Judah, Eleazar, and Johanan, and all five boys, and many people in the villages around the area, farmers, grassroots efforts. They get behind Mattathias, and they go out into the wilderness, and they begin to fight against Antiochus and what he is doing and what he stands for. Well, interesting thing happens. In 3 years, they had conquered not only from Modin, but all the way back down to Jerusalem. They'd conquered the Temple Mount. And they go in and they find the desecration of what took place on the Temple Mount. And so in Kislev 25, important date, right? 25th of December, we celebrate Christmas. Kislev 25, in 165 BC, the Maccabees, the word means hammer. So they hammered down, hammer time, they hammered down on what Antiochus was doing, and they sanctify the temple and they hold a dedication. So we talked about the madman, Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus who thought he was God incarnate. And matter of fact, many people called him Antiochus Epimenes, which means Antiochus the madman, the crazy one. It was a play on words in their time. And so now we have the madman, we have the mutiny, now we have the miracle. As they're rededicating the temple, they find one tiny little jar of oil that had been consecrated and set aside for the priest. It was kosher to use in the candelabra, the menorah, the lighted candle stand in the temple. But it was only enough oil to light one lamp for one day. And the miracle is that somehow it lit the lamp for 8 days until they were able to get refined olive oil and set aside for the cleaned purpose of using in the temple again. It lasted for 8 beautiful days. Now, Jesus Christ was on the Temple Mount nearly 200 years later from this event, celebrating this beautiful time of the dedication, the Hanukkah, the Hanukkah. And he's up there, and something interesting about Jesus, they're remembering Antiochus, the crazy man who thought that he was God incarnate and told people this. And Jesus is walking around, and what is he telling people? He is telling people that he is God's son. Interesting, isn't it? Matter of fact, the Bible proclaims his coming, and the Bible calls him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So you can see how so many people at that time thought that, wow, here we're remembering this crazy man and what he did, but how God saved us from this situation. And now there's a man that he too is claiming to be, what is he up to? What is he going to do here and do amongst us? So the miracle is the lamp, but brothers and sisters, the miracle is more than the lamp. The miracle is Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus proclaims this. In John's gospel, he says, I am the light of the world. Now, what is the message of all of this? Well, and again, let me refer to a couple of scriptures in your Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in verse 16, the Bible says, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, because Corinth, remember, was a very vulgar Greek city. And the Greek church had a hard time of keeping the vulgarities out of their congregation. Paul says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So Hanukkah is a time of dedication, remembering the dedication, the rededication of the temple, the cleaning out, the clearing out of the clutter and the horrible things that Antiochus did there, re-sanctifying it. But Hanukkah for Christians is also about us rededicating us, our lives, that is the temple of God, and clearing out the clutter and the junk that we have allowed in our temple, that we are now setting aside our lives to serve the Lord with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, know who you are. Amen. Know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are the temple of the living God. I asked you earlier what you did with those gifts that you were given. There are some gifts I've been so ashamed of through the years, I went and hid them. There's a gift or two, I shouldn't admit this, but I returned them to the store. Said, I lost my receipt. Will you please take this back? I want some money for this. I want something because I don't want this. There's some gifts that we were very proud of. There were some gifts that we had to learn to take care of. But the greatest gift that we've been given is Jesus Christ the Lord, the light. And that's what Christmas is all about. So the question really is, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with this gift? Are we going to hide him under a bushel? No, like the song says. Are we going to try to take the benefits but just, you know, return him? What are we going to do with Christ? Brothers and sisters, I tell you what, it's a wonderful privilege to have Christ. But it's a great responsibility as well. Because now that we have Christ, we have his Spirit in us and we are his temple. And some of us this Christmas season, what we must do is clean out some of the junk within the temple and rededicate it, reset it aside for God's glory and God's goodness. Amen. Oh, what a beautiful story Hanukkah is about the madman, the mutiny, the miracle, the message. Here's the message. We need Jesus more than ever. He's the greatest gift. He is the light of the world. And now we have a responsibility in our own temple and self to make him welcome and to share him with others. Amen. Let's